Welcome to Live Talks, a podcast by Live, a tech and logistics company headquartered in Abu Dhabi. On Live Talks, we tackle fintech, logistics, business, and best practices in the workplace. I'm Karim Bakhash, the VP of Strategy at Live Global, and I will be your host. Welcome to a new episode of Live Talks. Today's topic is going to be about digital transformation. With me is Dharmendra Mehta, who is an expert in digital transformation. Welcome, Dharmendra. If you want to give a small introduction about yourself before we start.
Thank you very much for having me on the podcast, Karim. I think I've been following what you're doing, and it's a very meaningful conversation that you've built up so far. Thank you for including me. I think from a quick round of introduction, I've been in the retail e-commerce, unified commerce space for about 25, 27 years now. Did some retail operations in India, followed by a long stint with Flipkart, which is India's largest e-commerce company. And I've been in the region for about 6 years now, largely doing e-commerce. Did a startup of my own in the fitness business, and then COVID caused that to close down. And the last couple of years, I've been in retail building unified commerce operations for business, for brands.
Well, great to have somebody with your experience on the show. I think what's important for us is to understand through this conversation the importance of digital transformation. Obviously, everybody knows it's important, but it has its big challenges. A lot of the big firms in consulting have run multiple surveys, and they say 70% of digital transformation end up not meeting their objectives. Doesn't mean they failed, but they mean whatever was set as initial objectives did not get there. Probably some of them, they promised, you know, very huge revenue coming up from the digital channel, but that doesn't happen. Also, certain things in these big implementations don't happen as expected. So I think today what we want to do is go through, you know, the journey of digital transformation, challenges, how do you address them, how technology is important, and maybe we focus a bit about some of the areas that we are an expert in, and then we talk about, you know, trends and how do you go live and you get this as a success as you've done this in your experience. So I think let's get started. As you know, when we talk about digital transformation, what is the typical journey that, you know, a retail in your line of business, how does it go? Where do you start? What is the typical journey and the different steps?
Yeah, so I think the way it's evolved most companies have this knowledge, like you rightly said, of there's a need of digital transformation. But most organizations take it top down and they say, this is our Uber goal of we want to go from project X to getting to X plus 10 revenue. And what are the tools that are going to get us there? Versus the other way to look at it is, where is our business today? And where do we need to go? And what are our growth levers? So most organizations who look at it from that growth lever perspective then start building in, plugging in, what are the tools that they will need across their organization. So it could be starting from HRMS systems to order management systems to IT solutions that are all encompassing, right? So in my experience, where organizations have been in the last 10 years, they've implemented each of these in silos.
Correct.
And now they're all looking at, how can I unify this entire experience?
Correct.
So over the last 2-3 years, what has happened is, with this entire unified commerce experience coming in, technology platforms have started looking at users instead of looking at people. So your retail store staff is also a user of your storefront app, right? So how do you utilize your systems to enable them to start living a easier, better, more efficient life is one way to look at it. And then in your Uber goals, how do you build the entire structure together where the organization transforms from being very, not being a tech-driven organization to actually bringing technology to the core of everything that they do.
Right. So I think a lot of organization, what they tend to do, and maybe those are in the category where they fail or they don't meet their objective, is either they're following a trend, right? They say, oh, this looks trendy, let's now do it because everybody's talking about it. But then it doesn't really align with their core business objective or their long-term strategy. The other ones are the ones that, as you mentioned, is they're trying to build different solutions right and left, but doesn't really, with no clear path of why they've done this. And I've seen this in my, you know, previous consulting career where, you know, you see these organizations really struggle with these, you know, digital transformation initiatives, which can sometimes last for multiple years with no end results or with delays. And but we'll get to that. So what you're saying is it's important to look at this from a perspective of aligning it to your strategic objective, to your business needs, and then obviously you embark on this journey. But is there kind of a way to embark it the correct way, if I want to say it? Like, is there saying, okay, that's now is the time to do it, or is it just, you know, any time is okay?
No, I think it's a part of evolution, and it's about being aware of where your objectives are today. So I think a good starting point is, how do you align your Uber goals and what is your objective? So if you were to look at any transformation for that, not just digital, but if you're saying today my business is doing X and I need to go from here to the next level in the next 5 years, what are the key areas that I want to focus on? Because there are only finite number of things that you'll Correct. Be able to do to impact your business.
Correct.
Especially in retail, which has so many, you know, I call it the ministry of retail, because retail is such a complex business, because you have people, which is customers, your employees, you have suppliers, and all of them converge together at their one point of sale, which is the moment of truth, right? So 6 months of buying and merchandising expertise goes into this pause experience for 30 seconds where a consumer decides whether you're successful or not.
Right? Correct.
So how do you then encompass this entire journey of your buying merchandising to your retail operations, to your staff management, to the back office? How do you integrate all of it and create a very meaningful experience for everyone involved in this, and more so for your customers? So if the starting point is I'm going to serve my customers in a certain way, then what do I need to start doing? So maybe if it means I need unified commerce, until a few years ago, it was not possible to have a unified commerce experience. Your e-commerce experience was very different from your in-store experience.
It was completely separate.
And now today, with technology merging all of it together, it's becoming more and more sustainable for brands to offer that experience where, you know, even when you go into the store, you're seeing an endless aisle. You're seeing, you know, what can I pick from another store? Can you ship this to me from your warehouse to my home? And all of this is becoming so enabled, right? And this is happening because organizations are seeing that as a strategic area of growth, where how can I retain more consumers over a period of time, give them more meaningful experiences? How do I build my loyalty with the customer and say whatever I do is right for my consumer, and how do I build that? So starting point would always be a good customer user journey. So if you were building a furniture brand and you map out the user journey of those consumers, how do they behave in store, online, and how can you make it more meaningful for them? So
it's become much more complex with time.
Yes.
And also consumer has been, he's now much more sophisticated and their demand has grown.
Yes.
And this is because we've made everything very available to everyone in online and offline, and everybody's expecting to get the same, not exactly the same experience online and offline, but at least it merges somewhere. And this is what you're trying to say, is that it's the digital transformation now is becoming driven by users. What users, either external users, meaning customers, or internal users, which are the company employees, and how they can drive all the way to kind of that point of like selling the item.
Okay.
This is very complex.
Yes.
And this put a lot of pressure when you build up a digital transformation. So what's typically the challenges? You know, I mean, there might be a lot, but if we want to summarize this in a few points, headlines, and we can talk more about some of them, what do you see as the biggest challenges when you do these digital transformations?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges I've come across is this resistance to change, right? Because
yeah.
If this works today, should it not be working for the rest of the year or the next 2 years or 3 years?
Right.
I think there's a big effort that goes into actually aligning the entire organization into that is your largest goal, right? And then, of course, there's silos, right? Businesses are built typically. A lot of organizations are built on personality silos, where I am the CEO of XYZ brand, and therefore everything is built around me as an ecosystem, right? Versus actually saying what is needed for the organization or the group to actually function as one unit. And then bringing all those data silos together is the other challenge, right? So if we were to, say, explore a customer data platform, and because these are three different businesses, there are three different opinions on how the customer data platform should acquire consumers. Do you want to send out WhatsApp receipts versus SMS receipts versus email receipts? So how do you kind of then bring everyone on the same page and say, this is the right journey for the consumer, and therefore, for a customer, this is the right way to build out the entire journey, right? So bringing everyone on that same page is one of the challenges. I think in the region, also, you know, talent has been a challenge. Most of the times, we are looking at outwardly bringing talent from outside into the region. And then because they have so many opportunities, they also don't tend to stick around for a longer time, right? So it becomes challenging to engage people with and retain them into doing the right roles, right? So
what's interesting in what you just answered is you haven't really talked about technology. Which is fair, because in every single digital transformation that you do, 90% of the time, I want to say 100, technology is not the problem.
You're right.
It's usually the human factor that comes with technology. So what you just mentioned is two things from what I heard is stakeholder management, which is the people that are impacted by the project. Sometimes these people are not directly impacted, indirectly, which we tend to forget. So somebody using the system is directly, but indirectly somebody who's down the line doing something, he doesn't use the system, but is impacted by it. We forget about them. Right. And then the other one that you talked about is requirement gathering, which is what is the common requirement gathering that satisfies everyone, which most of the time fails because always there's someone who's not happy.
Correct, absolutely.
But is, again, when you're in a big organization, you have to take some compromise and then find a common brand. I've done something similar within where we're working. We've done this for businesses, but we've done internally once also where we had multiple line of work and we wanted to unify our CRM. And each one were using different CRMs and getting them into a common ground to saying this is what the new CRM will look like was a challenge. Yes. And when the product went out, it was even a bigger challenge because they were impacted and some of them were not happy because they were used to something else. Right. Which ultimately led to something that was more and more challenging as it went on. Because at the initial set, there was no and not everybody was convinced of the new technology.
Yes.
The technology was there, it was perfect, works very well if you use it. But if you don't use it, it doesn't do the job.
It doesn't do the job, yeah.
Also for businesses, because we deal with transformation that the most complex one is usually on the delivery side. On delivery management solution, you'll see that a lot of the time you come with the perfect solution, it works perfectly, but then you need to deal with supervisors and, you know, delivery people. And these people are, you know, need to be trained and explained, and it doesn't really work very easily. And this is where a lot of them not fail, but don't see the value until very long time because, you know, the change was very difficult. So again, when we re-summarize all these challenges, we go back to the human factor. Do you think really it's the only challenge or there's anything else that we didn't mention?
No, I think there's also this abundance of supply today, right? So from a technology perspective, if you speak specifically about technology, I think that's one challenge, right? There's so many
options.
Organizations who are going through, you know, you have enterprise, you have mid-level, you have smaller startups who are trying to solve problems. And the same solutions available to you for $1 million and $500,000 and then even at $50,000.
Correct.
And this, on the other side, on the buying side of the table, it confuses the decision makers.
I can imagine.
So it does becomes a challenging space to be. There again, I think the way we've solved it in one of the use cases that we had was, we actually said, whether we went with enterprise or we went with a mid-level organization, for our customers, our user journeys, this works for us. For our scale of business, this works for us. From an ROI perspective, this works for us. And then you take off those five or six key indicators that are going to measure success for you. And then you say, okay, now this is the solution we go after. So there would be salespeople who'll come and pitch rosy pictures to you saying this is going to change your life.
Always.
But versus being really true to the brand and saying this is what really is our requirement. So we could use, you know, a cloud-based service, which is small today, and it'll scale with us, versus going into a longer-term implementation using a very big name, which then becomes a challenge in its own, because then you have to upgrade your entire organization to learn their systems and processes. So.
I mean, everyone has been moving more and more into the cloud concept because it's easier for businesses. Obviously, there's regulations, and you know, some companies cannot do that because they need to be in the country where they store the data center. So there's complexity around it, especially when you talk with government companies. This is almost like impossible to talk to. But you're right. I mean, challenges is mostly human, and technology's abundance is everywhere, right? Even us as a technology provider, we also use technology in certain of our solution. It's completely, like, it's crazy how many approaches you, and almost it's the same solution, right? And you don't really... It's also, at the end, it's based on kind of trust and, you know, confidence of this company, you know, that can they can survive or they can continue. So it's very interesting. So now you mentioned technologies, and maybe let's talk about how technologies drive transformation. And maybe I'll ask you a few specific questions, certain verticals. But as you look at technologies, how, I mean, of course, it's important as a drive transformation, but anything you want to add about how important is technology?
Yeah, I think one of the largest changes that's happening is computing is moving more closer to the end users, right? So earlier, our feedback loops used to be 6 months, 8 months, a year. Today, you have live transformation, you know, transmission of information across the entire business. So decision-making is becoming so much faster,
right?
Which means technology needs to really become the core of the business. And irrespective of which business you're in, if you're going to, you know, utilize the right technologies at all the time. I was speaking to somebody who was telling me that their entire company, about 1,200 developers, entire company is on a paid ChatGPT module, right? Because their starting point of all conversations today is figuring out how to do pricing for this product from ChatGPT. So it kind of, if you are able to prompt it the right way, it is going to give you all the right answers, right?
Right.
So that is becoming a way of life. And then how businesses start using technology at the core of everything that they're doing is really where the essence of the next decade is going to be, right? So of course, there are modules which are very specific to solving business use cases. But at a larger level, this adoption of you know, technology at all levels is very, very important. And imagine a CEO being able to see, first thing in the morning, being able to see multiple dashboards coming to them the way they want it, visualized at the click of a button, right? So it just gives you the entire health of the business at one go. I've seen it being used in the government a lot where, you know, the Minister of Power is utilizing how much power was consumed in the country yesterday, etc. So all of that is becoming so much more easier through technology. So I think it's crucial that everyone ups their game on understanding what technology works for their business and how are they going to implement.
Yeah, you mentioned now decision-based information, meaning how can you bring up the critical data for this, the management to take the right decision quickly and not wait until, you know, it's like 3 months later and, you know, the financial results are out. You're like, wait, well, what is this? Indicator is completely off. Mm-hmm. But then you're already 3 months out of what you've looked at. Mm-hmm. So yeah, technology is kind of going deeper into everything we do in the organizations.
Yeah, and these are non-technical users who you need to give technical information in a very simple way, right? So,
what's your view, and maybe you tell me, I don't have a lot of view on it, but on kind of everything related to order management and delivery management technology?
I think it's the most crucial one from a scale perspective to make it more meaningful. Today, customers are spoiled for choice. They have platforms that they can buy from online. They can come to your website. They can go to your store. I think from a business perspective also, how can you make your business far more efficient, right? So from a retail perspective, specifically, say a fashion brand, I have one single unit of a very nice stroller, which has to be made available across stores and also to my online store so that the customer who picks it first gets served fastest. And so therefore, this requirement of making sure that single view of inventory is available, which is then orchestrated through the WMS, the OMS, and through the last mile network, right? So how are you able to converge all that information, make it available to users to pick and buy? and then just orchestrate the entire sale in a way that it's the most meaningful, of course, to the customer. They get it the fastest at the best price, but also it is meaningful to the organization, right? So
what you're saying is those are very critical components in the heart of making sure customers are going through the right experience, because yes. Order OMS is where the orders come in. So you need to capture this order, yes. Whatever channel it is. And then delivery is how do you get this to these and with the right place. And you, in the middle, you need to go through this experience.
Yes.
And I've had a bad experience with one of the retails here in the region where I went on their website, I bought shoes, right? It was sports shoes. And nothing happened. I mean, I paid, I got an email, nothing happens. 2-3 days, you know, no updates, nothing, no message. And then, you know, as a consumer, you're used to being almost bombarded with updates, right? Yes. This has been shipped, especially from, you know, Amazon and the likes, right? Shipped on its way, delivered. So you're like, and here it was like zero silence. I said, okay, maybe, you know, it will take time. 5 days later, nothing, zero. I called. And the person answered is like, oh, all online orders are processed from Dubai Mall. I said, okay. He's like, you have to call Dubai Mall. We don't do anything here. I said, great. I called Dubai Mall. He's like, yes, the person who's there is not there. Can you call back to know where is your order? I said, okay, thank you. So another 1 or 2 day passed. I can't catch the guy. He looks inside the system. He's like, oh, actually that item is not available. It was not supposed to be on the website as available. We'll refund you tomorrow. Thank you very much. And he closed the door. So this was like a representation of everything that can fail. So these guys went and built an online channel direct,
yes,
where you can order.
Yes.
Great. But either the stock is wrong, there's no follow-up, there's no customer support, there's nothing. And I promised myself never to buy from there anymore. So that's how the point of it, and you don't never go back.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it will take a lot for you to be convinced to go buy again from that website.
Yeah, and negative publicity, right? I mean, we're talking about it on a podcast, right? Imagine everyone who knows you is listening to this and is never going to shop from that brand. Everyone's going to, after this podcast, come and ask you, what was that brand? So
I will not say. I'm not here to do bad publicity, sorry. But it was a bad experience, and I was really upset because I didn't get the shoes. So I need to find somewhere else to get them.
Yes.
And that took another week or two to find it because it was specific shoes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So now let's talk about kind of like when you get to the go live, right? Everything's ready. You've trained people. Everybody's okay. We're good to go. Now is the go live. What is the critical steps as soon as you go live to ensure success, but also sustainability? Because in my experience, you can do a success, then 2 months later, everything fails because, you know, people say, I don't want to use it anymore.
Yes, I think great point. And this happens regularly across organizations, right? I think it's about how well do you plan for your Uber goals over the next 6 to 12 months of implementation. So how do you build? So you build KPIs for smaller term success, and you make sure that those KPIs are made visible to everyone. So you build, a strong dashboard that goes across to the right people. Everyone's involved. You have, you know, a very visually enabled, simple dashboards to look at. So you know that what's achieved, what is pending, what got delayed, and what are the reasons, and you keep rectifying. So the first 6 months is really crucial for this daily stand-up, that huddle that works on figuring out what went wrong. Your control tower really takes care of, you know, how do you, what got implemented, what was missed, what is getting delivered, what are the next steps that we need to do to ensure that everyone remains on the same path. And that entire holding it together with, you know, wherever required, division heads, function heads, being part of that daily huddle, being part of that conversation and driving that entire conversation. It's again about how people see the value on a daily basis of improving. You were giving that example of the delivery rider who doesn't want to use the app anymore, right?
Yeah.
Because it's simpler for him. But how do you habituate him into it? So interestingly, we were in Saudi and we realized that, you know, in one of the retail stores, that this person was probably the first person in generations to have come to a retail store to work. Now, his task management is not assigned to him. He wouldn't understand what it means to be in a store. So how do you make sure that the person starts seeing his task management coming from a simple app that he's used to using every day in his life? And then how do you start building confidence and trust in the person saying this Correct. Is right for the right reasons? This is not to monitor me, but this is to help me also learn and grow.
Correct.
And then you keep doing these repeat exercises across the organization, and then you keep holding that together, right? It's a very tight rope to walk, but you have to kind of keep balancing it.
And I think a lot of the organizations, medium, small or big, what they think is once the technology is live, the work is done.
Well,
they think, oh, right, technology is live. Now the work is done. Yeah. Actually, the work has just begun. Until the time an organization is confident and has the trust of using the system and will come back to it, it actually takes time. Yes. And in one of our examples is because we provide solutions to enterprise clients, we actually put a control tower for them from us because they said that they don't have the confidence that they can take this to a success very quickly. Now, us knowing how to take the solution to success quickly, we come in, we'll put a control tower, we'll say, okay, within 2 months, you'll be now 100% compliance. Everything will be fine because we'll put our supervisors on the drivers and we'll force them to use the app and we'll make sure that everybody's following what the app is saying, because a lot of them, what they use to do the driver is he'll look at the app and say, go deliver this one first and next one next. He's like, no, I'll go do this one. And he'll try to do his own thing because he thinks he knows better. Well, yes. The system tells him, no. Do not do that.
Yes.
So yes, it's a very, and then, you know, these control tower lasts between 2 to 3, 6 months max, and then you just dismantle them when things are operating and you hand it over to kind of the regular operators. But this is something very important, and a lot of organizations don't realize how important is the job after you go live.
Yes.
And they always think technology is the solution, but it's only one component to make it a success.
Yes, and I think it's important for decision makers to also know what is not required in that. Because a lot of times what happens is once you go live and then you have a lot of people coming and asking for, can you change this? Can you tweak this? This is how it works. Like you said, the driver, this is how it works best for me. And there you need to have a very robust system of actually the decision maker saying, yes, this is required as a change or this is not required as a change.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this applies to any solution, right? We're talking about delivery, but could be for order management, could be for the warehouse, it could be for, you know, any other solution that you have within that digital transformation. You need to make sure that you have the consistency after for success and sustainability.
Yes.
And this is where most of the value will come when everybody's on board and everybody's using it. Then you have it. You have it as a success. Okay, let's look a bit on the future, right? Which trends you're looking at now and you see, oh, this is interesting, it's going to pick up now or in a few years from now?
Yeah, I think everything that's... So AI is the buzzword, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. But I think it's more machine learning than AI. I think there's a lot that's happening.
Good clarification. I like it that you're doing this clarification because the buzzword is very wrongly used.
Yes.
It is ML. Yes.
Yes, it is ML. So I think there's a lot that's happening in that space where, you know, for example, a lot of chatbots coming up from an e-commerce perspective.
Correct.
Making customer service really, you know, at least your basics are taken care of. And then when there's a requirement of a human to be involved, then it escalates to the right person. So I think that will become the norm going forward. I think there's a lot that's happening on the AR, VR side of things where, again, from a unified commerce journey perspective, how can my store also be seen on the website? How would it look?
Will that come back, you think?
It will, to a certain extent, for certain categories.
Because they started it a few years ago, you know, Meta, famously their name, right?
Yes.
But then the hype died down.
Yes, because it's not true for all businesses. So,
right.
it'll thrive for certain businesses. So, if you look at electronics as a category where you need to have your televisions and how do you actually look at your Xbox and, you know, all of those would definitely thrive in these categories. But of course, it'll be very difficult to sell some other kind of product categories using AR, VR. But from a unified commerce perspective, how do you build that journey for a customer to have the same experience of digital screens in store and on the website? Then it becomes really, the customer starts understanding the brand better, right? And you start building a digital footprint with the brand, and that's how it's kind of going to grow.
Interesting you mentioned AR, VR, because I saw it at that time at something that will pick up. But there was all these challenges about, you know, people not comfortable putting VRs yet. There's, you know, nausea issues and things. it got better, but I think, you know, everybody got cooled down on the idea, and, you know, AI came now and kind of took over the hype, and this thing went a bit in the back, in the back end. But I mean, yes, it could come back as a new trend.
It will. It'll come back with the right tools. So like you rightly said, it had these issues of technology, again, hardware mostly. But if you would look at it from a very simple two-dimensional perspective, I think it is still going to be very important to be part of the user journey that gets built, right, between store and in-store.
New
and
transformations. Or, very good. Yeah. Good. Listen, Dharmendra, very nice to have you with us today. It was great speaking with you. I hope it was meaningful for you too.
It was extremely meaningful. Thank you very much, Kareem, for having me. I think this entire conversation was so energizing. I want to go back to the drawing board and see what more can we do.
Great. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for another episode, and see you next time.